Okay, well, today I want to get into some things I think we'll really be blessed with. Numbers 23. Numbers 23. Verse 19. You knew that's where I was going. Oh, gosh. Ooh. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Wow. God is faithful to his word. And, you know, God knows the end before the beginning. You know, God knows what he's going to accomplish. He knows what he's going to do. He knows how he's going to work. And so when he tells you what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, how he's going to work, when he tells us that, we should pay attention, because God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the Son of Man that he has to repent. You know, we say something and we go, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it the way that sounded. I really meant something else. God isn't like that. You know, when God said, let there be light, there was what?
Light.
God's got to be careful about what he says. You know, God said, you know, let there be a firmament. There was a firmament. You know, God said, you know, separate the day from the night, the darkness from the light. It was done. So whatever God says is. Whatever God says was. And whatever God says will be. Right?
Yes.
Oh, good. Now, we know that's right. Okay, now look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at some of these things where God has fulfilled his word. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to go to verse 18. 5:18. Okay. And it says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, that is, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, a jot is a youth. It's like the smallest letter in the Hebrew or Aramaic. And one jot or one tittle. A tittle is a mark above one of those letters in the Aramaic or Hebrew. And so not even part of a letter of the word is going to be lost. You know, let me read it again. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What a terrific thing that is. Can we trust God's word?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even the diacritical marks above the letters and so forth. So verse 17 says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. Fulfill. Plerao. Yeah. Fill to capacity. Okay. Plerao. Pletho is filled to overflowing. So this is filled to capacity. Terrific. Thank you for telling me that. Go to Matthew 1, 22. Matthew 1, 22. It says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. You know, and there are a number of places in there. This was done that it might be fulfilled. That was done so that it might be fulfilled. You know, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and so forth. But this, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Look at chapter 3 of Matthew. There are a lot of these, and I didn't want to read them all, but I tried to put them in book order so we could get through as many as possible. Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, he allowed him, you know, to fill all righteousness. You know, and this to fulfill, okay, to fulfill all righteousness. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 2. Boy, this is, God is so wonderful. You can trust him. Trust him beyond any person, any contract, any statement, anything. You can trust God above everything. Anything and everything. Now, chapter 2 of Luke, verse 6 says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And you don't see what this is saying, but the Aramaic word there is the same Aramaic word that's used for what we've been looking at, fulfill. It's the same Aramaic word that's used for fulfill. Isn't that something? And in this book, The Bible Tells Me So, one of my favorites, by Dr. Victor Paul Werwell. It's volume one. And I keep going back to these books. They're so wonderful and so full of great truth. But it says here, in Aramaic, there are four different grammatical forms to show the intensity of a verb. English has no verb form which corresponds to this Aramaic form. So, we can't see it in the English, but we can see it in the Aramaic. Even in Aramaic, very few verbs go through all four of these conjugations. The first conjugation is the qual in Hebrew, or peel in Estringalo-Aramaic, or what would be a simple form in English. The second conjugation is pael in Hebrew, pael in Estringalo-Aramaic, and what would be an intensive form in English. The third conjugation is the hifil in Hebrew, the afel in Estringalo-Aramaic, and would be an extensive form in the English. So you have an intensive form and an extensive form. To show some sort of comparison, the English with English, we will use the passive verb to be complete. And there's a reason for this, which you will see as we go further. The intensive form would show a more intensive completion, to be completely complete. If something's complete, then it's what? It's complete. If something is fulfilled, then it is pleroo, right? Fill to capacity, okay? All right, but, you know, this is wonderful. It says, let me finish here. I got a little distracted by how great this stuff is. The intensive form would show a more intense completion to be completely complete. So the intensive would be completely complete, all right? The extensive form indicates even more intensity, and it would be completely and absolutely complete. So that's the extensive form. All right? All right. If in Colossians 2:10, God had put the verb complete in this last extensive usage, namely that we are completely and absolutely complete in Him, it would be very wonderful, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sure it would be. But this is not the case. God goes beyond even this extensive form to show us how complete we are in Him. The Aramaic manuscripts use in Colossians 2:10 a very rare fourth conjugation. This fourth conjugation is called the hithpil in the Hebrew and the shephel in the Estrangelo Aramaic, or what would be an extra extensive form in English. It is found only in a few places in the Bible, used a few times in the Bible. This conjugation, very rarely used, is difficult to translate. But here is an attempt to translate Colossians 2:10. As it is given in the Eshtafel, passive shephel, which corresponds to the Hebrew hithpael. Okay, from the Aramaic, we are completely, completely, absolutely complete in Him. Such completeness is incomprehensive to the human, the finite mind. At best, we can know for a certainty that we are lacking in nothing. Okay, so completely, completely, absolutely complete in Him. That's Colossians 2:10. Well, these examples that I've read to you are not that extra extensive form, but they are the intensive form. The intensive form, which is completely complete. If you're full, then you're full. But, you know, when the days of her pregnancy were ended, were complete, that's that word, were accomplished. That word is this word for complete in the extra extensive form. So if any of you women that have given birth, when that time is complete, there's no stopping it. The next thing is a baby, right? Yeah, you just can't stop it. Well, that is the word used for this completely complete or accomplished, accomplished or something. You know, it's difficult to translate. So let's look at a few more of these in this intensive form. Let's go to John 15. John chapter 15. I think this will bless you because we can trust God's word. God's word has been fulfilled, and anything that hasn't been fulfilled yet will be fulfilled. Okay. John 15, verse 25. It says, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be what? Fulfilled." That fulfilled is in this intensive form. So fully fulfilled. The reason it's fulfilled and not just filled is because it's in this form. It's fulfilled. You know, fulfilled. So it's, you know, complete. Completely complete. You know, it's completely complete or it's fulfilled. Pretty neat, huh? That is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Verse 26 says, but when the Comforter, we don't need to go into that, but you can read that on your own. All right, look at John 19. John 19. Great stuff about the Comforter in there too. John 19, verse 18. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Both of those are this word in the intensive. Both of those, where it says that all things were accomplished, that is this word that I'm going over, the word for complete. It was absolutely accomplished.
What was that reference?
Is it?
It's John 19:28. Didn't I say that?
No, you said 18.
Oh, I can't count. Okay. That's all right. It's in here. It's just that. Okay, 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Remember, he was dying on the cross. And there was one thing left for him to do. And that was to say that he thirst. I thirst. You know, and they gave him vinegar to drink. You know, that was that was the only thing left that he hadn't done yet. Everything was accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And they gave him to drink. That was one thing more to do, that everything was completely complete. Isn't that amazing? How wonderful God is, how wonderful Jesus Christ was to do that. All right, now go to Acts chapter 2. This has to do with next week. Isn't that Pentecost next week? I think so. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this fully come is completely complete. It was fully come. Everything that needed to take place so that Pentecost could happen was done. It was complete. It was full, you know, it was fully come because of that. Isn't that something? It's this intensive form. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. Acts 3:18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. That is this completely complete. That is this fulfilled. If it was filled, it was filled. Right? But it's fulfilled. You know, like complete, if something's complete, it's complete. It was completely complete. That's this intensive form. Isn't that something? Man, oh man. We can trust God's word. Jesus Christ did not leave anything to chance. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He carried out God's word to the nth degree, as we might say. Now, these are things that God and Jesus Christ did to fulfill the word. Okay, right? There's some things that we can do to fulfill some things too. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. This is, you know, we sang that song about love. I thought that was very wonderful, very appropriate because of this verse. It says in Romans 13:8, "No, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." This is that word, completely complete. If you love, is how we fulfill the law. Isn't that terrific? Well, remember the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. You know, if we love people, we're not going to steal from them. If we love people, we're going to be honest with them. We're not going to lie. You know, we're not going to take advantage of somebody if we love them. You know, love fulfills the law. Isn't that terrific? So God has given us, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We can love to the degree that we, and we fulfill the law when we do that. Isn't that terrific? I think it is. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. Bear ye one another's, you know, what does it say? Burdens. There are burdens that can be shared, and there are burdens that can't. And there, this is among the ones that can be shared. And it fills to full the law of Christ. And, you know, part of the great thing about Christ is it's Christ where? In you, the hope of glory. That's something. Well, actually, we're going to get to that. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and depth, length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, it's beyond knowledge, that ye might be, what? Filled with all the fullness of God. This word filled is completely complete. It's the same Aramaic word. It's full fill, that you might fulfill, you know, that you might be filled, fully filled with all the fullness of God. Everything that God can make available to man, he made available, and it's completely complete. We're not lacking anything. We're not lacking anything. Isn't that terrific?
Yeah.
Golly. Fully filled. We're filled, and this is God doing the filling, you know. Yeah, God is the one that did the filling. You know, when you go to the dentist, you don't fill your own tooth, right? Well, God did the filling, right? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, look at Philippians. Chapter 4. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The word supply is this intensive form of the word for complete. Isn't that something? All your need, he will supply. You know, when things are accomplished, they're completely complete. God supplies. It's not like, you know, just enough supply to whatever. It's supplyingly supply, you know. Isn't that something? That's the intensive form. You know, when you're speaking, you can make something more intensive by how you say it. And, you know, it's hard when you're reading along, it's hard to see those things because nobody's saying those things. But in this Aramaic language, intensity is marked by these conjugations, these forms. Isn't that something? Okay, well, that brings us to an explanation of the second conjugation was this intensive. The third was the extensive, you know, completely, absolutely complete. This word does not show up anywhere in the Bible, at least in the New Testament. I haven't checked all the Old Testament yet. But in the New Testament, it doesn't show up in this third form. It doesn't show up completely complete or accomplishedly accomplished or absolutely. It shows up in the completely complete. Let me say this right. It doesn't show up in the completely, absolutely complete form at all. And I think that was for the sake of emphasis, so that when it showed up in the fourth conjugation, that was really emphasized. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 places that I want to share with you where it shows up in this extra extensive form. Go back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 30. Acts 13, 30. But God raised him from the dead, speaking of Jesus Christ. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are the witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings. That's the word for the gospel, right? Glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, okay, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it was also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. From the dead is what that's referring to. But look at this. God hath fulfilled the same unto their children. This fulfilled is this extra extensive form. So God has fulfilled this promise, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled. He has completely, completely, absolutely, completely fulfilled. I keep going back to complete because it's an easy, simple thing, but to translate it, he has fully, fully, absolutely, fully filled. That'd be a good way to say it there. Isn't that something? He made those promises to the Father. He fulfilled them. He fulfillingly fulfilled them. He absolutely fulfilled them. That's our God that loves us. That's our God whose word we can depend on. He fulfilled his promises. All the scriptures might be fulfilled, that says in a couple other places we've seen. What a wonderful God we have. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That filleth all in all is this extra extensive form. This is more than filled to capacity. This is capacity upon capacity upon capacity. I get tongue-tied trying to say it. Man, oh man. We are not lacking anything. God has not shorted us in any way. Look at that. We can trust God in everything, in what He's put within us. Boy, that gives us a great confidence in knowing how we can walk with Him. You know, how we can trust in Him. How we can look to Him. How we can minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Boy, what a terrific thing this is. All right, well, we got to go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. It says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or the administration of God, which is given me to you to fulfill the word of God. That word is in the extra extensive form. We don't have to question what the Apostle Paul wrote by revelation in his church epistles, because he fulfilled the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He filled, absolutely filled. I don't know how to say it. You know, it's just hard to say it, but he absolutely filled us. And he fully communicated this mystery. He fully communicated what was necessary to fulfill the word of God. Man, oh man. Can we have confidence in the Pauline epistles? I think we can. Wow, isn't that something? All right, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. First epistle of John. Somewhere back here, chapter 4. Before Jude and Revelation. 1 John 4, verse 10. Oh, I'm in 2 John. No wonder, that didn't look right. Oh, gosh. 1 John 4, 10. I get wound up about this stuff and can't even get to the right page here. All right. 1 John 4, 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment, the mercy seat. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. This word perfected is that Aramaic word in the extra extensive form. Isn't that something? It's that Aramaic word in the his love is perfected in us. Wow! It's perfectly, absolutely perfected in us. That's this word. Isn't that a terrific thing? And God had it here put in the Aramaic so we could see it. You know, a lot of people, there are a lot of discussion about the Aramaics, you know. Some believe that the Peshitta text was the one handed down from the first century. Others say, well, the Peshitta text was translated from the Greek in the 4th century. Whichever it is, this is some tremendous truth, undeniable truth that we can see here in God's word. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? You know? Hath he promised, shall he not make it good? Wow. That's our God, our faithful, loving, kind, forgiving God. Go back to Colossians 2, please. We'll finish here in Colossians 2:10. Let's go up to verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, man's wisdom, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, worldliness, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's not a verb form, so it's not in this form. And ye are completely, absolutely complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. What a terrific thing that God has preserved in the Word for us to look at, for us to enjoy and appreciate. Wow. Can we trust God? You betcha. Can we trust His Word? You betcha. Can we trust His promises? You betcha. You know, what a terrific, loving, kind, awesome God. And you know what? He's our Father. He is our Father. We are His children. Heavenly Father, again, we are in awe of Your love and grace and mercy and kindness and in Your fulfilling Your promises, fulfilling Your Word, giving us such a great completeness, giving us such power, giving us such great accomplishments by way of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, may we rise up to walk and live according to the greatness that You have set within us. And we thank You and praise You in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.